What's up, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager speaking, and you are listening to my show, the Kings of the Rings podcast, exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, The Cure for the Common Wrestling Podcast. Now enjoy the rest of our show. Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, King Ricky is joined by Taylor Jade tonight to discuss what might be the greatest hug in the history of pro wrestling. Plus, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes start getting serious, MJF gives himself a rebar mitzvah, and a legendary comedian is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. So get back with the Elite Hangman page. It is Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 333, so eloquently titled The Bronze Kneecap, exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio, and it starts right now.
Midnight Music.
Ah, yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome everybody to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 333, so eloquently titled The Bronze Kneecap. Of course, I am your host, King Ricky Rose. Thank you for joining me tonight. And I mean me, because as you can see, Will's not here. Kay's not here, so it would be just me, the only host that you actually really care about. Thank you guys again for joining me, but don't worry, folks, I brought a friend with me, a newfound friend, all the way from the Midwest. Not a cheesehead, but a Bengal. But living in Wisconsin, lovely Taylor Jade. Taylor, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am doing absolutely wonderful. We're going to be learning a lot about Taylor Jade this week and also talking about some of the craziest things going on in pro wrestling, and especially that awesome, awesome hug. Quiet Taquan, Kay did not carry the show. I love Kay, but it's not true, Taquan. I know you miss Kay. We're going to try to bring Kay back, especially for next week. Because did you know it's 10 days till WrestleMania Night 1? It is 10 days, and that is going to be an interesting show when we do that next week for our go-home show. Before we get into any of that, Taylor, are you ready to play the first guest game?
Oh, I am definitely ready.
All right, let's get the show on the road. First guest game with Taylor starting, right? All right, Taylor, for your first question of our lovely first guest game is, what got you into wrestling?
So I had a friend back in 2001, and keep in mind, I'm in kindergarten at this point. But they were a big wrestling, their family loved it, everything. So one night, they're like, you want to stay and watch it? And I'm like, sure. I don't know what it is. I've never watched it.
Okay.
And it was I can't remember the entire card, but I remember the main event was a non-title between Chris Jericho and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
All right.
And I was obsessed. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't even Stone Cold, honestly. It was Jericho that drew me in.
Really? Chris Jericho?
Yes. I loved him on the mic. Heel Jericho was top tier back then. It just drew me in, and I was hooked ever since, honestly.
So Jericho has a lot of different forms. What is your favorite form of Jericho?
Oh my God. I don't know if I can pick. I really loved his early 2000s gimmick was probably my favorite.
Was that a heel or a face, Jericho?
He was a heel for the longest time because he was with Stephanie for a while. And then he kind of went turned on her for a little bit.
Oh, okay. You're talking about WrestleMania 18 Jericho.
Yeah.
Then they went up against Shawn at 19. Okay. I know what era you're talking about.
Yeah.
Good old Jericho. It was Jericho 3000 Jericho.
Yeah.
Nice. Very, very nice. Okay, next question that we have here. Who's your favorite current wrestler? I know this answer, but just let everybody know.
Jon Moxley.
So have you always been a Jon Moxley fan?
Yes. Since 2006, actually. So okay, part of the early. reason I'm such a Bengals fan is because I had family in Cincinnati back in the early 2000s. And my family knew that I was into wrestling. And at the time, I don't know if anyone else knows this, but HWA or the Heartland Wrestling Association was a WWE developmental. And then it was bought by Mox's trainer, Cody Hawk.
Okay.
That's when I kind of started getting into it. And Mox was, I want to say, 20, 21 years old at the time. And there's a lot of great people that came in and out of HWA. Nigel McGuinness was made of somewhat.
What a gem. Nice guy. Lovely man.
His name was Dick Rick at the time, but L.A. Knight came out of there. Sammy Callahan.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me L.A. Knight was Dick Rick?
Yes.
How come I have not used that as a heel moniker for me? I do not know.
I don't know, but like HWA, everyone had like a gimmick. So like Moxley was a football player and Cody was a surfer and oddly Dick Rick was like a doctor gynecologist type of role. I don't know why, but that's just what he was.
Fun fact. I had a friend in high school. His last name was Seaman and his father was a gynecologist. So just let that go around in your head for a little bit. Yes. Dr. Like, Seaman, the gynecologist. It was an amazing thing to be a part of.
And the other one that came out of there, he wrestles on AEW, The Blade, but his HWA name was Pepper Parks, and his gimmick was like cheerleading.
Okay, so he really took that Spirit Squad thing to another level.
Yes, his finisher was the Pepper Shaker neck breaker, and then like he'd get on the top rope and he'd do like spirit fingers and all that. I'm like, so it's cool seeing all the people that came out of there.
Ironically, the Blade is wrestling right now on AEW.
Oh, that's awesome.
But that is pretty crazy. So you've been like a day one Mox fan.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What do you like about Moxie so much? Besides the fact that you followed him for a long time, so you kind of know his story.
Yeah. I mean, growing up at the time, because I was like 10, 11 years old when I first saw him. So I didn't know it at the time. I just liked him because he was like so off the wall and said whatever he wanted to say.
Okay.
But reading his book and then like just watching old promos, like he and I kind of grew up similar. So it was nice having someone to relate to.
Yeah.
And I've met him once and he's just a great guy. Great overall guy.
That's good to hear. I mean, I've met a fair amount of wrestlers, and I think you can attest to this too, but most wrestlers are really nice people. Most of them. you have some bad apples here and there. R-Truth being one of them. I had a bad experience with R-Truth, which is weird to say, but.
Really? Yeah. I would never have like guessed that.
It was Access at New York when they had Access for WrestleMania, because like, spoiler alert, that's not a thing anymore.
It's not.
No, it's actually a lot cheaper. Collect somewhat. But yeah, when I did the photo with R-Truth, he just really didn't seem like he wanted to be there. I was like, all right, R-Truth, whatever.
What WrestleMania was that?
That was 35 in New York.
No way. I was there.
Well, yeah, I mean, New York is my back. Essentially, I live in New York, so I spent a crap ton of money that week going to all the Access and it was a wild time. Absolute wild time. So we learned a lot about your love of Moxie, but who is your favorite wrestler of all time?
I'm going to stick with Jericho only because I know a lot of people don't like him because he's got certain views outside of wrestling. Personally, I don't really get into that.
Yeah.
But he's great on the mic. He's great in the ring. And even now at his age, he's still wrestling and helping out the younger guys like Daniel Garcia and Ricky Starks. Like, I never really get tired of him. Plus, singing Judas at the top of your lungs at a show is always fun too.
I went to a Dynamite show, but he was not on that show. So I never got to sing Judas with the crowd.
I lost my voice my first AEW show after that.
Would you ever consider going on the Jericho Cruise?
Oh, I'd love to.
We have fans of the show who have gone multiple years and they say it's a fun time.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard too. I do want to. I do. I am. We did consider maybe going on one year, but who knows? All right. Next question for you. We have your favorite current wrestler, favorite wrestler of all time. What's your favorite match of all time?
So when I was reading that, it took me. I had to sit and think about it for a good couple days because I'm like, one match of all time is hard to like, you know, pin down with everything, but. After really thinking about it, I really liked Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero at Halloween Havoc in 97.
That's a great choice.
The storytelling, the spots, like it was so perfect. I couldn't think of a better match, and those two together were always amazing.
Listen, I know you were born in like, you know, the mid 90s, but if you go back to that, those WCW Nitro Cruiserweight days, those matches are bananas. That whole division is unbelievable.
And they were like really overlooked at the time because it was all, you know, like Kevin Nash's and all that.
Yeah.
The big guys, which I mean, they had their place and I loved their stuff too. But like that whole division with like Eddie and Ray, it was.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a wild division. They should have gotten more shine in WCW because they were the show for a very, very long time. So we kind of already know, and anybody doesn't know, we kind of already know your wrestler name, Taylor Jade, your EFED name. Yes. And so I'm assuming your EFED persona has its own finisher.
Yes.
But if you were an actual wrestler, not your EFED wrestler, but if you were an actual wrestler, we'll assume it's Taylor Jade too as your name, what would your finisher be?
I go back and forth sometimes, like, especially if I play too, like, just not even with EFEDs, just like my character. I normally either go with the curb stomp or an arm bar, depending.
Of course, you being a Jericho fan, you'd have to use an arm bar.
If I had to pick one, I'd probably use the curb stomp first.
Okay.
But I don't know, like, there's just something special about. For me, like making someone tap out. I don't know what it is. I just like it. But
so what variation of the arm bar would it be? I keep thinking Jericho's stupid list of wrestling moves.
I forgot about that. It's hard to pick one. Cause I like Becky's.
Yeah.
It'd probably be something similar to hers.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Not bad. So I don't think we've ever asked this question on the First Kiss game before, but I'm just going to shoot from the hip a little bit. So you have your finisher, but what song would be your entrance song? What's your entrance theme?
Oh my God. It would have to be something like Metallica wise. I don't know, like specific songs. I don't know because I don't want to take anything from like a Nick Gage type of thing. Cause he's got Metallica as his entrance music. So not that same song, but either like Metallica or Deftones maybe. Cause I love Deftones.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So you're not thinking like the only Metallica song I really know. It's like Enter Sandman. That's cause I'm a Yankee fan and Mariano Rivera.
Yeah. Yeah. that makes sense. I get that.
Yeah. Oh, Francis saying Seek and Destroy.
Ooh, that might have to be it.
There we're going to go with that. Thank you.
Yeah. Francis, Seek and Destroy.
All right. So we are ready for our final question and the most important question of the first guest game. And even though you've been kind of prepped on this question, we want you to answer naturally, whatever comes first to your mind. Are you Team Slack or are you Team Fuck You Slack?
I really want to just lean towards Team Fuck You Slack.
There you go. That's it. Final answer? Oh.
Yeah, that's my final answer.
Yes, number one for good guys. Team Fuck You Slack. Welcome to the team, Taylor Jade. And that's probably like 7,000 for Team Fuck You Slack. I think there's probably only one Team Slack member at this current moment. We've been running this for like 4 or 5 years. I mean, outside of Slack being a part of his own team. It might be his dad. We did have his dad on the show. Might be. I don't know. His dad may have also declined, but I don't remember. But now you've known a little bit about our great guest, Taylor Jade, who's joining us this week. So let's get into this week in wrestling. And first and foremost, we have a third member of the Hall of Fame. Thank God, WWE. And it comes in legendary comedian Andy Kaufman. Now, if you guys remember or know any of your wrestling history, Andy Kaufman was in essentially the first worked shoot feud with everybody's favorite creepy uncle, Jerry the King Lawler. And they really, really kind of just blurred the lines between reality and fiction. And it went over unbelievably well. And I think without Andy Kaufman and Lawler getting to that feud, we don't really get any of these kind of, you know, fourth wall breaking feuds that we've come to know and love throughout the years of wrestling. But to you, Taylor, what are your thoughts on having Andy Kaufman in the WWE Hall of Fame?
I think it's a great choice, especially like you said, I don't know how much we'd have like those, like breaking the fourth wall and like mixing storyline with reality. So I think they made a great choice with that. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, they were going on talk shows and like almost trying, like, I think that, I don't know if they were on Letterman or whoever was doing like the Tonight Show at the time, but they were on like national TV almost trying to kill each other. It was absolutely wild. Andy Kaufman with the freaking neck brace the whole time. Mm-hmm. It was pretty nuts. So currently we now have three members of the WWE Hall of Fame. It's actually a fantastic class. You have Great Muta, you have Rey Mysterio, who's clearly going to be the headliner, and you have Andy Kaufman. So Taylor, my question to you is, who else is getting into this Hall of Fame? You've got 10 days left, and they probably are going to announce maybe two more people, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they'll do it, but I'd really like to see China be inducted on her own.
I would like that as well. I just saw her A&E biography, mm-hmm. and that was really good.
Yeah, I've seen parts of it. I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but I would really like to see her in. I don't know if they will, given the situation, but I mean, they inducted at WrestleMania 35, they put in DX with her in it. So I don't see why they wouldn't put her in, but
listen, X-Pac is in the Hall of Fame twice.
Right.
That little weasel that he is. Right. China can get in on her own.
Yeah, I hope that she would be a good one. I don't know if they will.
I think the A&E doc is a good step in the right direction. I think it shows that they're leaning towards putting her in at some point. Because as mm-hmm. Mr. Fred said, it is a tough watch. At the end, it becomes a really tough watch because you do get to see her documented mm-hmm. downfall. And the mm-hmm. just kind of a kangaroo court that it became. But I think it is a sign in the right direction that she, hopefully somewhere down the road, she is going to get inducted by herself, which I think we really could. I mean, mm-hmm. they even have, she has one of the prettiest signature series championship belts out there, like the China belt, but they came out as really nice. Yeah. So hopefully it is. Yeah. So if not China, we got Chinaman. Who else would we try to get in there?
It's just, I have a hard time narrowing it down because there's a lot of people I'd put in that they probably won't put in. I can't pick.
Rattle them off.
It's so, I'd like to see John Cena.
Wait, but John's going into the hall at some point. But you're saying,
I know. I know. It was kind of off the wall, but
John Cena of all. I mean, John Cena deserves the hall, even though I despise his character that he plays.
Oh yeah, for sure. I've never been a big, like, John Cena fan. I'm not like, oh my God, yes, John Cena. But, like, I mean, he's done a lot for
the business. Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually, they do, speaking of A&E, because I think WWE's A&E biographies are really good. They did a Rivals special with him and The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So he spoke some truths in that one, which I thought he would never say.
Yeah, the one that got me, because I saw part of it, was when he came out and, like, Rock had those notes on his wrist or whatever.
Yeah.
And I found it funny because he goes, he who shall not be named told me that he's got, hey, he's got something right on his, like, wrist. And then the next scene, it's Miz talking. I'm like, way to make it a little too obvious. But some people were saying it was Punk too, but I'm like, I don't know. Maybe
it could have been Punk.
It could, honestly,
I wouldn't put it past them.
With all the his drama too.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Punk at all to say that. It was interesting because John Cena admits, because if you remember that feud, John Cena was going off on different like radio shows, like just popping off about The Rock. Mm-hmm. But that was a shoot. He was he explains it in the doc. He explains it that he was trying to get Rock to come back. Like that was his intent the whole time. Mm-hmm. Which it worked, but like the problem was he didn't let Dwayne Johnson in on the angle.
Yeah, so he kind of it was.
So they legitimately did not like each other for a long time, and it was all Cena's fault. It's.
Of course.
But now they've made up and done Fast and the Furious movies together. But who knows, we'll go into the Hall of Fame. Fred is saying Stacey Keibler is coming next. Who knows?
Oh. Yeah, I can see.
Yeah, you know, that's fine. Go, Stacey. I do want to play the Cena showcase, though. I just want to beat up John Cena for a whole showcase. Let's see.
I have a feeling that's kind of why they did that, because some people just like legitimately can't stand him. So they're like, kind of like when AJ Styles and the Good Brothers are like, well, we'll beat up John Cena, like that whole thing.
It's a great era of SmackDown.
Beat up. Yes, I love that.
I was in the crowd at that SummerSlam when AJ beat Cena clean as a whistle. The place lost it. Absolutely lost it.
There was a Raw that I went to, and it was Cena and AJ when they were starting that feud. And the crowd went for like 5 minutes back and forth between Let's Go Cena, AJ Styles and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I didn't have a voice for like 2 days
after that. It's a shame. I mean, I know they had their blow off at Rumble, but that was a Mania match in the making.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it's a shame that they never got a Mania, but they had a great feud. Let's move on to everybody's hottest free agent in the world of pro wrestling. And his name is Bill Goldberg, because news broke out that Bill Goldberg is finally out of his Legends contract with WWE, a la the Garcia twins, because we don't want to be called the Bella twins anymore. So what is the likelihood that Bill Goldberg wrestles somewhere else?
I hope he doesn't. I don't know how big of a fan Tony Khan is of him, but
I'm gonna go on a limb and say he's a huge fan.
Please,
I'm gonna go on a limb and say Tony Khan is a massive Goldberg fan.
I could see that.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
think about how happy he would be to see Goldberg at a press conference after that. He'd be hugging him like he hugged the I forgot who he was hugging before in that viral photo that went all over the place.
Shoot, who was that?
I forgot, but he'd be like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, I could see him being like an absolute, like, guess who I signed?
It was Claudio. Thank you, Fretz.
Yes.
Yeah,
I could see him doing that with Goldberg.
Speaking of Claudio, when you do meet Eddie Kingston, you know we were talking about off there. Eddie Kingston and Claudio don't like each other.
Is that like
that's, real? That's like a real thing.
Oh God, I ain't saying that name then.
That's a real thing.
Oh my!
That came up in my interview with Eddie. He's like, I don't want to call him. He called him Claudio on purpose. Like it really like changed his tone.
Yeah. Okay. Noted. Don't bring him up. Okay.
Don't bring up Claudio. No. But back to Mr. Jackhammer himself. I can picture, because we were going to talk about AEW in a little bit. I can picture this. I can picture Goldberg being a surprise for MJF.
Oh my God.
Listen, MJF is the devil and everything. He's trying to be this heel, although he's kind of getting over as a heel because that's what MJF does. But it would make perfect sense for Goldberg to just come in and squash that.
I could see it happening. Now that you say that, I'm like, damn.
It would take a lot of people off. It would probably take, you know, wrestling purists off. I'd probably start crying laughing if I could on Twitter, because I know that's what's going to explode wrestling Twitter.
Oh, everyone is going to lose it. Everyone. Oh.
I can't wait. I live for the moments when wrestling Twitter burns to the ground, like the return of Eva Marie, one of the greatest moments in wrestling Twitter history.
I will admit I was probably a part of that because I hate her. I can't. I'm sure she's a nice person, but as a wrestler, dear God.
Yeah, no, she was not it. It's a shame. But if Bill Goldberg shows up in AEW, none of us are going to be surprised. I don't think Bill goes anywhere outside of AEW if he decides to go back into the ring.
Yeah.
Like, Bill Goldberg is not an indie guy.
No. I couldn't even see him being, like, an Impact guy either.
No. No.
Yeah. Most he goes to AEW at most.
But I feel like he's satisfied to wrestling. Like, he came back for his son. His son saw him wrestle. He became the fruit roll-up Universal Champion. And there's nothing more for him to do.
Right. Like, it just wouldn't make sense for him to, like, have anything else to do or have anyone else to wrestle.
But. Yeah, just don't pull a Flair, Goldberg. Like, retire and just don't pull a Flair. Please don't pull a Flair.
Please don't. Just stay away from the ring, please.
Yeah, yeah. So more on that later. Let's get into SmackDown that happened this past week, where Cody Rhodes became everybody's favorite friend counselor in all black and trying to bring Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn back together. And it clearly didn't work. KO walked out. And then moving forward, Sami Zayn had to relive even more trauma later on in the night as he confronted his former somewhat best friend, Jake. So I don't know how Sami's feeling mentally, because he went from trying to confront his real life best friend and that failing to Jay, the guy who he thought was his really good friend, betraying him. This is all in a span of less than 2 hours.
Right.
Like, oh my God, the mental health counselor in me. I was like, somebody needs to give him health.
he needs a hug or something.
Well, he did get his hug, and then the Usos attack Sami, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like Stone Cold Steve Austin coming to help the Alliance, KO comes back in also a hoodie, which I thought was interesting, and then they had the lover stare down.
Yes.
Wolver wanted to one of the greatest pops in history, to what I will argue will be the greatest hug in the history of pro wrestling, Sami and Kevin Owens back together.
Yes.
This time. What were your thoughts on that whole slew of events leading to this?
I'm kind of, it's one of the few, like I watch WWE obviously, but yeah. Like, it's one of the few storylines where I'm like, I will sit down and watch the entire thing. I won't like be on my phone. I won't be nothing. It'll just be like, I'm watching it. And right before Sami was betrayed and all that, when he took that kick to the face, if you watch it, he whispers something to him.
Really?
I shouldn't say he did. It looked like it. And so I'm wondering if that's going to go somewhere, but I'm fully invested in whatever happens.
Yeah, I am too. I think this solidifies their WrestleMania Night 1 main event slot.
Yeah.
I think, because they are getting the tag team match, because Jay doesn't know when to shut up. They are getting that, which I think is fitting for them, so people can stop complaining that Sami Zayn's not the main event of WrestleMania. He gets Night 1, suck it up. Please.
Right.
Please, I love it. Like I said, I don't think there's a greater hug in wrestling besides Macho Man and Elizabeth.
Yes, yep. Mm-hmm. But, I will agree to that.
Jesus, that pop was actually phenomenal. It's really weird how Sami and Kevin for their entire wrestling careers have done the same exact storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And it always works.
Yes. It doesn't matter where it just makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know how they keep doing it, but it is absolutely fantastic. But the problem is, I don't know if they're better as friends or as enemies.
Right. Because with them on the same team is great, but when they have matches against each other, when they're just angry, it's good stuff. Like, they produce great matches.
Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable. So I love to see where this is going. Sammy's going to get his spotlight, like KO got a spotlight last year, and they're both going to do it in the main event, and hopefully that leads to the end of the Bloodline, which is literally going on for like 2 years.
Right, like,
yeah, so
let's do something else.
Who knows what happens? Hopefully, again, like I said, this tag team match will probably be night one main event over Rhea in Charlotte. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, moving on to Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes stopped getting polite and started getting real, because there were some shots taken at each other on Monday. In particular, Roman Reigns pretty much saying, "You failed at AEW." Which he's got an, I'm not going to say he's right. I'm going to say he has an argument.
Right. Like, I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah. But I think Cody, or as I like to call him, Reverend Rhodes, had a great retort where he said, number one, stop talking about my father. Mm-hmm. You know, number two, when I beat you, everybody's going to leave you. Like, I loved it. And then the greatest part about it is, Roman just walked away.
Mm-hmm. He had no rebuttal.
Yeah. Did Cody get Roman, Taylor?
I think he did, honestly. Because this kind of reminds me of not necessarily the feud, but like a few years ago when it was John Cena and Roman Reigns type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cena was absolutely owning him.
Yeah.
Now Roman's kind of owning Cody, but then Cody came back and then he was like, oh, he didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah. And he stopped Solo from attacking Cody too,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a good little, it seemed like it was an ad lib by Cody, because he was in the middle of talking to Roman and he glared at Solo. He's like, you've been staring at me the whole night. And he's like, let me tell you right now, you are not ready for me. And I was like, oh, okay. So I loved it, everything. I mean, it is weird because we've talked about this on the show before, my co-host Will. It's that for some reason, Cody, at the end of his AEW run, no one wanted to see him. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand the psyche of it. I mean, I wasn't heavily following AEW at the time. But he comes back last year at WrestleMania as the prodigal son. And he's over like Rover. And I don't know what it is about his switch from AEW to WWE that just made him so beloved again.
Yeah, I didn't understand it either, because I remember like one of his last like matches, everyone was just booing the crap out of him. And then a few months later, he's wrestling Seth at Mania and everyone's like, oh my God, like, where did we go from I hate you to going for the title?
Yeah. I think it is. Cause I was part of that Mania crowd last year. I think it was the presentation, and Mania crowds are the smartest of the marks, mm-hmm. which doesn't really say much about that. However, the fact that I think they loved it as a way just to take a jab at Tony and company, who Tony was probably in the arena and crying along with everybody else.
Because
he's such a mark. But I think it's the fact that they didn't change a thing about him before he came back. Like, it's still that same Cody you saw from AEW. So in essence, it's kind of fourth wall breaking. It's kind of like a surprise hidden character in a video game. And you're just like, oh crap, he's here. And I think that's probably what spurred the excitement. It was like you were getting something you weren't supposed to be getting.
Right. And there was, I don't know who it was. There was a creator on TikTok who was talking about, they were angry. They're like, what has Cody done to deserve this spot like so quickly? And every all the comments were, do you not remember Stardust? And I'm like, they're not wrong. Like, I get it. Cause he hated, I know he hated that character.
Yeah. He played it really well. I thought at least.
Yeah. He made do with what he was given at the time.
Yeah.
He did it well. I'm interested to see where it goes though. Cause I'm mixed if they're going to make Roman pass like 1,000 days or if they're just going to be, give us what I guess all of us want.
That is the scary intrigue of this entire match, because 1 week, Paul Heyman was like, Roman's been red champion for over 1,000 days. And then like the next week, Michael Cole's like, oh, nope, 929. I'm like, oh no. there is a good argument to put Roman over 1,000 days as champion, because no one's going to pass that in wrestling probably ever. Like, we're not going to get Bruno Sammartino like 4 years running, or like Bob Backlund, who's like champion for 2 years, which Roman has clearly passed. But 1,000 days as the top guy, that's hard. But like, Cody's also really intriguing too, because like, he's, the Rhodes have never won a world title. Like, that's a great line to do. Yep. And unfortunately, and I mean, he did say, he's like, Dusty, he's like, my brother's wrestling for another company, he's not going to be there, which kind of sucks, as I want Dustin to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm assuming Dustin at some point will probably be backstage, just not on TV.
Right. Yeah. There won't be kind of in the match like the Bloodline is.
Exactly. But I mean, Cody won me over when he did a Hell in a Cell match with one arm.
Yeah, that was mind blowing. When he took that jacket off, I'm like, what are you?
Because we all saw the news things. I was like, okay, he's injured, blah blah blah. And you know, when you watch wrestling enough, you're like, okay, maybe this is just a bluff.
Yeah. And like, he's injured.
Yeah.
And then he took that coat off and
we're like, what?
Holy crap. I give him props for wrestling through that, but
oof. Been coming out on Raw the next night. Just to get written off of TV. I know.
Right.
I love this promo. Things are heating up. This is exactly the promo we need going into WrestleMania. And who knows what the hell's going to happen next week on Raw when it's the go home shows. I mean, Cody's wrestling on Friday, but next week is going to be intense. I think Roman's going to get his payback. I think we're going to get something really good next week. I'm very excited for it. Moving along to what's probably going to be three guys trying to kill each other at WrestleMania, even though I am not a fan of how they booked this, but I'm okay with it. We're going to have an Intercontinental Championship triple threat match between Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. In my opinion, Taylor, and we go back and forth with this, I felt Gunther deserved a one-on-one match at WrestleMania, because I think there's something special about you just facing one other person at WrestleMania. However, they're giving it to Drew and Sheamus. I'm okay with it. I think the match is going to be really fun.
The match is going to be good, but just from watching his one-on-one at the Royal Rumble, I was like blown away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they have to give him his own spot at Mania. There's no way. But I'm not horribly mad about it. I like both of them.
Yeah. I mean, I was sold. I mean, I've been a big Walter fan when he was Walter. But his match at Clash with Sheamus was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And I was like, just give me a number one at WrestleMania. That's all I want. I was like, Sheamus, Gunther, 2, WrestleMania, it sells itself.
Right.
But I mean, Drew is still Drew, and he's also a big man. So it's going to be wacky. This match is going to be really wacky, and I don't know where it's going to go. I think Gunther wins, barely, but it's going to be a wacky match.
And Sheamus isn't a small dude either. I've had him run past me at a Raw, and my brother-in-law almost got run over by him. But, like some of them do look, like, smaller on TV, and then you, like, see him in, like, person, you're like, oh, you are, like, you know.
Yeah.
As large than life.
He is, yeah, person. No, they're all, these are all three massive men who don't care about hitting each other.
No.
So it's going to be a very scary.
Just imagine like the chops.
Oh, the chops are going to be fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely fantastic. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for it at all. Let's move along to something that I'm back and forth about. So WWE, in lieu of having a nothing battle royal for the men's and women's, are going to have nothing tag team matches for the men's and women. This includes, and they're calling them the WrestleMania showcase matches for the tag teams, including the Street Profits, which I'm so sad that they're in this. The Street Profits, Alpha Academy, the Viking Raiders, and Braun Strowman and Ricochet for the men's showcase match. And then we have only one team announced, I believe, thus far, which is Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez in the women's showcase tag team match against three other essentially made-up tag teams for the women's division. And I don't know how to feel about this, these showcase matches. What are your thoughts on them essentially just throwing wrestlers in a match?
I'm not the biggest fan of it, honestly. I don't like it because, like, they're just going to throw random tag teams, not all random tag teams, but, like, especially for the women, like, because you got Becky and Lita doing their thing with that, so that there's a team out right there. So you're just gonna throw random girls together or random guys together and just be like, here you go, this is your match.
Yeah, I just,
like, I like Liv, I like Raquel, but, like, why?
You know, there's no rhyme or reason to it at all. And I understand people saying, like, well, they're getting a payday and that's, you know, good for them, which I get and I understand, and that's great and all, but yeah. I'm part of a thought of, you need to earn your way into WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Like, one does not just get a match at WrestleMania. Like, you need to earn it. And if you're not going to earn, you want to put people in, like, a multi-person match, or essentially this is going to be like a tornado tag somewhat of these matches. This has to lead to something. Mm-hmm. And currently, right now, neither of these matches, the men's or the women's showcase matches, are leading to a title opportunity, a main event match somewhere down the road. Like, this is literally a match for nothing. And that's not good.
If they were doing something with it, like you said, like a main event at a different pay-per-view or a championship, whether it's the tag or the women's, whatever it is, like, okay, fine. But it kind of feels just not necessarily sloppy, but they kind of, like, ran out of ideas or something. I don't know. It's cool that they're getting screen time and it's cool that they're getting paid, but it doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, it doesn't for me either. My idea that I have, especially, like, so let's say it's not tags. Let's say it's maybe, you know, a mini battle royal. If they went back to the battle royal gimmicks for a while and just don't bring back that stupid trophy, the yeah. Mae Young one.
Yeah.
All you have to do, because now you have two of them, we brought back the battle royal idea or made these showcase matches a little bit more chaotic, is that the winner of these matches, and this is an easy fix, folks, the winner of this match is guaranteed a spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
I like that, because then they're at least fighting for something.
Mm-hmm. And boom, that settles everybody's issue. Everybody gets on him, and one person is selected as getting a spot in the ladder match. Whether or not they actually win is a totally different story, but at least they are going for something and it means something to the crowd.
Right.
You know, but we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll switch it up. They still have 10 days to do this, so we will see what happens. Let's move over to AEW and Long Island's favorite devil child. MJF decided to have a re-bar mitzvah. Why? I don't know. He needed something to do. This was totally extravagant for no reason. But unfortunately for MJF, he got mic checked by, quote unquote, the three other pillars of AEW. So my first question for you, Taylor, because I know AEW is a little bit more your jam these days. What are your thoughts on the pillar thing of AEW?
I agree with a couple of them, but Sammy as a pillar, I can't. I've tried like getting into his character and I just can't. Darby, I understand. Jungle Boy, I understand a little bit too. But like Sammy just doesn't do it for me. And I don't know why. Like, it's not like it has nothing to do with him and his wife. I just like I can't get into him for whatever reason.
I feel like Sammy just rubs people the wrong way from time from a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I think he's because if you look at it, Sammy's character is just MJF with a wife.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
I did like the fact that Darby tore into like the people complaining on Twitter and including
other wrestlers. Yeah.
I was like, okay. Like I really like Darby.
I respect the hell out of Darby. I've seen Darby take some hits on the indies and that man just keeps getting up. I respect him for his wrestling acumen. Not what he did to Gigi Dolan, but his wrestling acumen. Respect
him. Yeah.
I respect him for it. So if not Sammy, who do you replace Sammy with in this pillars concept? Gender notwithstanding.
I wouldn't like, I like Mox in the world title, obviously, but like, I feel like he's done it enough to where it can be someone else's turn. I would have loved to see, I know he went back to Ring of Honor. We'd love to see Eddie. I think Brian's going to go back to Ring of Honor as well. But I think Brian would be a good spot there too, even though he just faced him.
Yeah.
Trying to think off the top of my head. I don't know, I might even put Jericho in there too.
Jericho's a good argument for being a pillar because without Jericho, hardly any of this is possible.
Right.
He is like essentially the face that started the place. When he was that.
Does he necessarily need to win? No.
No.
But he's done a lot for that company.
Yeah. Do you feel like the four pillar storyline has been forced? This is something that's, I don't feel like the four pillars have really been like an organic thing. I feel like it's something that's kind of already been told or been talked about on the interwebs as like, oh, these are the four guys. So does it feel forced to you that they're doing this and that they're trying to just appease everybody?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm kind of like, okay, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's kind of over. It's overplayed, I think, a little bit.
I think it is, but I think on the positive, because this is my, I have a giant critique of AEW sometimes that they rely on already established people when they were supposed to be the brand to establish new people. And I'm like, okay, now I feel like this is a step in the right direction. Like MJF's your champ. You're bringing Darby's getting away from Grandpa Sting. Jungle Boy got away from Christian and Sammy got away from allegations outside of the ring and, you know, now you can actually really start to build, I think, something unique with these guys who were never really stars anywhere else outside of AEW, besides the indies, obviously.
Right.
So I think it's a step in the right direction if they pull it off. But I mean, with Forbidden Door coming up, which is essentially just a crossover pay-per-view and all, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on the direction personally, but I'm willing to see it out and hopefully they do it correctly.
Yeah. I mean, they might have to drag this out to what All Out is probably our next big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had to drag it to All Out maybe because I said Forbidden Door screws everything up. Which is a pleasant thing to have because you're working with NJPW and a lot of their talent is going to come over. So like it's a pleasant problem to have, but you got to find a way to drag out. If you are going to do this four pillars storyline, got to really find a way to drag this out. Before we get into the other stuff in AEW, I know Fred's put in our chat as he is watching Dynamite right now. So we're going to do some live reaction. So apparently FTR is putting their AEW careers on the line against the Guns, and their contracts are allegedly up. This could be kayfabe. This could be a work shoot to bring in intrigue. But what are your thoughts on this new development?
That's interesting, actually. I would not have expected that, but I'm willing to see where it goes because I really like FTR. I'm hoping, I don't know, the Guns, I don't know. Like, I like them, but I don't.
They bother me.
I have a hard time rooting for them, I guess. Well, especially when there's so many other like new tag teams that a lot of people haven't seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a booking problem, and that has to deal with the man at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Tony, but sometimes I don't understand why he does what he does.
No one does. I don't even think Tony understands.
No.
Half the time.
No.
I was like, oh, get it together, Tony. But we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I enjoy FTR. I think FTR is good for them. Mm-hmm. I think FTR is very, very good for them. They're good spokesmen. They're great on the mic. They're fantastic in the ring. They're just unreal. So I would love for them to stay, but I wouldn't be surprised if they leave.
I could see them leaving.
Especially if VE is splitting and or unifying those titles and they're coming off of somebody real soon.
Yeah.
There could be some intrigue there for them to do a little comeback tour for a little bit. Could be. We'll see.
I think either way, it'll be good.
Yes. Speaking of Goldberg-like streaks, Jade Cargill is still undefeated, but Taya Valkyrie has just shown up, which I'm actually very excited for because she got hosed in NXT and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
She got hosed really bad in NXT. But here's a question. Is Taya Valkyrie the one to finally defeat Jade Cargill, or is this just another stepping stone for Jade?
I really hope they have her beat Jade, because it's nothing against Jade. I really don't dislike her, but at the same time, like, I want something different with that title that she has.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of gotten stale for me at this point. I really hope they do something special with her though.
No, I think Jade is Jade is a special talent. Taya Valkyrie, I think, might be the perfect foil.
Yep.
For her. And at some point, like you said, Jade has to move on from that title.
Mm-hmm.
She has to start going to more of a main event scene. Like right now, she's a great upper mid carder.
Mm-hmm.
She is a great spokesperson for the organization, you know, and the wrestling community. Like, her baddie section is a really crazy thing that she does for everybody. But she needs to go up against the likes of like Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter and the people who are, you know, and the outcasts, you know, the people who are like really holding, you know, that top spot with the women's division. And I think it's time for Jade to come through and be that next big women's champion. Like, I think she needs to defeat Hayter.
Yeah.
You know,
it'd be nice to get, I know a lot of people aren't going to like this, but it'd be nice to get Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker out of the title picture.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, Britt Baker was there, I think, for a long time because she needed to be there, because they didn't have anybody else that was consistent and could speak on the mic and do well. I mean, granted, Thunder Rosa, I think, also got hosed towards the end of her time there.
Yep.
You know, which I think was a damn shame.
I know, yeah, because I really like Thunder Rosa, and I'm not a Britt Baker fan. I can't. I've tried.
it's no hate towards her. I just, I don't get it. I don't get why Tony loves her so much. Like, if, like what you said, how she was like the main piece at first when AEW started.
Yeah.
Which I understood that.
She could be a pillar herself if you really think about it.
Yeah. But after they were, after he had brought a certain amount of people in and she was still champion.
Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do? Yeah.
Like I have a hard time. I can't get behind her. It doesn't help. She's from Pittsburgh, but
as a
Cincinnati fan.
Oh, yeah. No. The Bengals. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's just a little rivalry thing. But I don't get the fascination with Britt. Oh, like the last title match that Jamie Hayter had. Like, why was Britt? Why? What's wrong with one-on-one matches? Britt doesn't always need to be in the title picture, regardless if it's her friend or not.
I mean, listen, I would love to see Britt go for the TBS title.
Yeah.
You know, when it gets taken off of Jade, like I would love to see Taya beats Jade, which is fine. That'll be a great moment. Mm-hmm. And I think it helps out everybody. Jade moves up. Britt doesn't necessarily get demoted, but you still keep Britt in the picture. And she goes up against Taya Valkyrie. They'll put on a fantastic match.
Right. Yeah. I just keep her away from the women's title for a little bit.
She doesn't need it. The women's title did what it was supposed to do with Britt Baker and made her a star. That's good. Now she can do something else.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and Jade can be elevated. And I think they need to elevate Jade sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Absolutely. Also, we got another breaking news from Mr. Fretz, who, again, just loves watching AEW Dynamite. Adam Cole clearly is coming back, speaking of Britt Baker. And his first opponent potentially revealed, he's saying, is Daniel Garcia.
And I like Daniel. For whatever reason, I really like Daniel Garcia. I thought he was going to join Blackpool Combat Club for the longest time.
Yeah, but he's kind of doing his own thing.
Yep, and I actually really like that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, also great pickup for them from the Indies because he beat Christian Castagnoli, formerly known as Carmelo Hayes, to retire him from the Indies. And I was very impressed because we actually did sponsor that match, but I was very impressed by the work that he did. And I'm glad he got picked up. So he's going to be a good, if he sticks around, he's going to be good for the future of AEW. He's kind of got a look. He's got a gritty character going with him. And I think it's going to work out. Speaking of the BCC, they tried to attack Hangman. But Hangman was saved by his on-again, off-again friends known as the Elite, Kenny and the Bucks. But they didn't really come to an embrace. Like, he turned around, they had a stare off, and then it went off air. Are we seeing the return of the true Elite, minus Cody?
Honestly, I could see it because even with that Texas death match that Mox and Adam had.
Brutal, by the way. I watched that.
Oh, I loved every second of it. But he brought back the Hangman. Like, that was like one of his like original things that he did. And with them, I could totally see them being a group, or at least slowly building up to it.
Yeah, like the friends coming back together again.
Mm-hmm.
Type thing. And I didn't know, I was unaware that the Hangman was like his thing on like the Indies, where he was literally like hanging people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that makes sense. Hangman Adam Page. Okay, it makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. A lot of people were like, why do they call him Hangman? Then you like, I pull up a picture, like, really, he used to do that? Yeah, a lot.
Listen, it works. And what I like about this is that, you know, obviously the Elite or Kenny and the Bucks don't really have a title on them at the moment, which I think is a blessing. So they can
keep it that way.
Please. Yeah, please. My goodness, please. And they can kind of do their own storyline, which is good because it'll help them build their character. We'll also see what happens with this. Because, I mean, the AEW fans still want to see this happen. Like, it got big pops. It was a big deal that they kind of even had a stare off, which means that they're on to something booking-wise.
All right.
Go ahead.
And even Mox had history with Omega with the world title. He also had history with the Bucks with Eddie when they were going for the tag team titles before he entered rehab and all that. So there's definitely the history there, too, with both opposing teams.
Yeah, no, there's a lot there. We're going to see where it leads. But first, Kenny has to beat El Hijo del Viking, I believe is what it's called. Yeah. Who is an indie sensation. I've seen some of the videos. He's big on the flippy stuff. He's perfect for AEW. He's absolutely perfect. They're calling this essentially a dream match. I don't know if this is main eventing. This sounds like it'll probably main event tonight. Have you ever watched El Hijo del Viking, Taylor?
I've seen highlights, but never like a full match.
Yeah.
I've liked what I've seen, but I'm not just going to base it off of highlights. I would really like, you know, I'd like to sit down on not just this match, but like all of his stuff and just see what he's like.
Yeah. So it is the main event confirmed by Fretz, and El Hijo del Vikingo is actually a AAA guy, which I should have known because I know. I think Kenny Omega still holds the AAA World Championship. I think he's just holding that hostage, which is such a shame. Such a shame. But from what I've seen of him, I'm probably going to get butchered for this, but he reminds me of Ricochet.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. I could see that.
Yeah, I was like, he kind of reminds me of Ricochet. That's not a bad thing.
No.
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 But we'll see how he is with Kenny. Maybe he'll put the AAA title on the line so he can get it off of him.
Maybe.
Like, please, Kenny, for the love of God, work on the video game, Kenny. Work on the video game. Get it out, please.
Please, just get rid of it.
Oh my God. But yeah, no, AEW has been really kicking in the high gear lately. WWE is in very high gear because it's WrestleMania season. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan.
This time of year is usually the peak, not necessarily the peak, but like a lot of stuff is happening at once.
Yeah. More exciting than baseball. Let me tell you that right now. Much more exciting than baseball. That pretty much concludes our show this week. Taylor, once again, thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule, which with your family and everything, to join me on Kings Rings Podcast. I hope you had a great time.
Yeah, I did. Thank you for having me. I loved every part of this.
Absolutely. You're welcome back anytime that you want, because we are in our Friends of the Show era, so we're always looking for special guests to show up on the show. So again, you can come back anytime. You're clearly friends with other people on the network like Nate, so wouldn't be surprised if you pop up on his show, but you are officially a friend of our show and our network, Kings of the Rings Podcast. Is there anything that you would like to plug before we get out of here?
I do have a TikTok. I'm not the biggest account, but I'm really trying to grow this year. It's the same username as on the screen, on Twitter. It's the same too. And then also I am going to plug my eFed because
do it.
The guys who put in the work, like Logan, AJ, they put in a lot of work every week. We're New Generation Network. We're on Mondays with Dark, Thursdays with Asylum. Saturdays are Limitless. And then occasionally on Sunday, once a month, we'll have a pay-per-view. It's really great stuff. They commentary is just great, and they put in a lot of work. And if you want to check it out, it's always at 8 p.m. Eastern on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. So if you want to check it out, go give it a follow. It's some really great stuff. They've been putting a lot of work this year, and there's a lot of cool stuff coming from that.
Yeah, no.
And they also sponsor H2O Wrestling, which is just crazy. But
wow.
So a lot of cool stuff coming from that this year.
Wow, you're really doing some big things. That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I love, even if I'm not on the card, I just love hanging out with all those guys because we've been doing this. We were a pull fed for a few years. Now we're switching over to 2K, and it's grown so much, and we're such a big family, and anyone's welcome.
Yeah, I tell you, you have a wild time when you guys move over to 2K, especially if you're using the new 2K system, mm-hmm. because I've seen what they can do in universe mode now, which is pretty much a free-for-all. You can actually add cutscenes to all of these different matches and stuff now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you can literally start creating your own story within these matches. So it's going to be interesting. I'll definitely have to check that out. I know the EFED world is like a wild world and a wild subsection of the wrestling culture, which has gotten pretty big. But it does seem like it's a great time.
It's a lot of fun. Especially like there's a couple of girls that like I've known them forever and we go back and forth. We do promos. I do promos on Twitter.
That's awesome.
And we go back and forth at each other and it's so much fun.
That is absolutely awesome. So yeah, no, definitely go check that out. Taylor's, are you going to be joining us a little bit for our post show?
Yeah.
Awesome. So we're gonna debut something completely new on the post show, and it's called "Am I the Asshole?" Because I'm really I'm really excited for this. But before that, let's get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. You have been listening to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 333, the Bronze Kneecap. I have been your host, King Ricky Rose. You can formally find me at Ambassador Biggs across all social media outlets, but more importantly, find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast. Podcasts across all social media. Like, share, subscribe, leave some 5-star reviews. Go buy some of our merch. The link of all of that is in the description below. If you're listening to us, make sure you're listening to us on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. And follow Wrestle Addict Radio socials at @addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. Next week, folks, next week is going to be our big, massive, stupidly long for no reason WrestleMania preview show, where we're going to be covering everything involving WrestleMania weekend. And you're going to hear it first here today, right now. Will be back, which everybody kind of expected and no one's really happy about. However, they're coming back too as well. That's right. The band's getting back together for WrestleMania preview show weekend. So make sure that you tune in next week, where all three of us are going to preview and break down all that is going to be the calamity that is going to be the most exciting week in all of pro wrestling, that is WrestleMania weekend. So for myself and also for our special guest, Taylor Jade, the EFED queen that she is, we are going to get out of here. We are going to go into some fun stuff on the post show. But until next week, folks, goodbye, good night, we'll see you soon, and most importantly, fuck you, Slack. See you next week. This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.